Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. We have, well, I'll tell a story first of when Prabhupada was very ill shortly before Prabhupada left this world physically. He sent his servant to call Giriraj Swami in the middle of the night. Some of you may know the story. And I found the story so striking that I actually asked Giriraj Swami to tell me the story several times to make sure I got it right. And so Giriraj Swami woke up, went running to Prabhupada's room, and sat there in very dim light. I think there might have been a candle lit, and waiting for Prabhupada to speak to him. Didn't want to know what it was. So Prabhupada called him over and then spoke into his ear. Prabhupada asked him the question, when I am gone, will this movement go on? And Giriraj, the way he tells the story, sort of gave the regular answer you're supposed to give. That, yes, Prabhupada, we chant Hare Krishna and follow the principles and so on. And Prabhupada then indicated that there was more needed. There was more needed. Prabhupada said to Giriraj, there must be intelligence and organization. There must be intelligence and organization. So, today, of course, is Prabhupada's disappearance day, and it seems to me the whole point of ISKCON is to keep Prabhupada appeared and not disappeared. And Prabhupada always indicated that his physical association, Bahu, was not as important as serving his message, Vani. In fact, one time I was in Mayapur with Prabhupada toward the end of the festival, and I went in to see him and on the basis, and almost before I stood up, Prabhupada began speaking that this physical association is not so important, we have to serve. And so I just got sat up, went back down, and left, and went out to go preach. I remember another time I was with Prabhupada in Los Angeles. He was giving a lecture saying that I was there, perhaps that was 1972, and I was there with a few brahmacharis. I was sannyasa, I had my band, and in the Bhagavatam class that morning, Prabhupada emphasized that we should not try to enjoy the association of the spiritual master, but we should try to serve. So after the class, I had a little breakfast and took off. Went out to do some service. So Prabhupada, one thing about Prabhupada, for those of us who had the honor, I mean the great blessing to actually work with him and to work under him in a position of responsibility, in other words, to represent Prabhupada in some part of the world and to be trained by him to do that, is that Prabhupada, of course, the first thing was our own purity. Prabhupada was the perfect parent for whom the first priority was the health of his children. So Prabhupada's first consideration was our spiritual health and even our physical health, actually. And after that, once we were more or less in shape, physically and spiritually, it was all about the Sankirtan mission. That's what it was about. And so, keeping Prabhupada present, Prabhupada, there's another great quote from Prabhupada, let the neophyte stay in the temples and ring the bells. Prabhupada himself rang bells, and Prabhupada himself went to the temple every day, so it's not that we avoid the temple. However, you stay in the temple. The Bhagavatam teaches us that those who basically see Krishna only in the form of the deity, and don't recognize that same deity in the hearts of all living beings, is on the material platform. So it's possible, according to the Bhagavatam, to actually worship Krishna and with faith, worship Krishna with faith, and actually not be on the spiritual platform. Even though that activity itself is spiritual, but our lives can be on the material platform. And so now, in Prabhupada's physical absence, in very different historical circumstances, both outside of ISKCON within, I mean, outside the world is a very, very different place than it was. And Prabhupada's genius, and what he explained to us, was that he was the one among the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that could recognize, he had his eyes open, he recognized that this is not 1923, and it's not 1937. It's a different world. And Prabhupada was able to come to America and do the needful to keep Bhaktisiddhanta's mission truly alive. So Well, of course, we're not talking about changing basic things. We're not talking about changing our form of worship, our form of personal sadhana, the way we practice spiritual life. It's not about changing our philosophy or the basic books that we read. It's simply a question of understanding where we are, historically, where we are, and recognizing ISKCON is a very different place. Demographically, it's very different. The collective psychology of a group of young boys and girls, as Prabhupada always called us, who just had a recent powerful conversion experience, you know, due to sociology. Nowadays, ISKCON is, there are many middle-aged people, and certainly don't include myself among them. But in terms of the psychology of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, when you're 60 years old, it's not the same as when you're 20. And when you have children and grandchildren, it's not the same when, you know, if you sell a lot of books, you may be giving your home load of bathroom samples or something. So ISKCON, in terms of what the movement is like, the social dynamics of this movement are very different than they were then. And the world itself outside is very different. And we can slip into all kinds of fanaticism, superstitions, and misunderstandings. Prabhupada stressed intelligence. And intelligence means we actually have to be able to think. I just received a letter from the Vaishnavi, a very good devotee, who was lamenting that in her country, well, not her country, but she was living in Germany, and a sannyasi came through, somewhat well-known sannyasi, who was explaining to the devotees this invaluable point that we should never shake hands with non-devotees, because we will become contaminated and take on their karma by shaking their hand. I just wanted to warn all of you about that, because some of you may actually have been shaking hands with non-devotees. Anyway, now, the reason I bring this up is that the whole point is to keep Prabhupada present and to keep ISKCON the way it was when Prabhupada's here. Of course, it's very different in some ways. It's much better in some ways. There's a lot more maturity among his followers, and we have a much more mature sense of raising families and taking personal responsibility for our lives and things like that. However, if a sociologist just came down here from Mars or wherever and studied our community, would a neutral sociologist conclude this is a movement as opposed to a religion? In other words, we grew up in Krishna consciousness with the idea that if you're a devotee, then you have a spiritual life. You may not be strong, or you may be strong, but do we actually have a spiritual life? Because according to Bhagavatam, simply going to a temple and worshipping there does not mean that one has a spiritual life. That is a spiritual activity, but it doesn't mean one's life is a spiritual life. Is a community actually a spiritual community? For example, there are communities in this world, in America, everywhere, let's say small towns where almost everybody's a Christian. There are towns in this country where almost everybody in the town goes to church on Sunday. Does that mean we would consider that a spiritual town? I mean, apart from their moral blunders like meat eating and so on and so forth. In other words, the fact that you have a group of people who share a common religion and who, let's say, weekly worship together, does that mean that the community as a whole is a spiritual community? As opposed to a community that shares a religion. So, today is Prabhupada's appearance day. As I said, the whole point is to keep Prabhupada present and alive. And Prabhupada very clearly indicated that could not be done simply by performing rituals and ceremonies. Not possible. Because Prabhupada is a person who, again, I'm not saying don't perform the ceremonies. Prabhupada himself initiated them and participated in them. But Prabhupada always emphasized that the train of devotional service runs on two tracks, and that if one track is much bigger and stronger than the other, the train may derail. So it's a very interesting question to ask. In the International Society for Krishna Consciousness today, I feel this is a question Prabhupada would ask, because he was quite bold. Is our preaching, our direct preaching, as strong and prevalent as our worship? Is the movement, and Prabhupada said basically between these two, Bhagavad Vidhi and Pancharatra Vidhi, the Bhagavad is really the main thing. It's really a preaching movement, And we all worship, all of us, every one of us needs to worship the deity in order to keep ourselves pure and strong. But is this movement basically centered on spreading Lord Chaitanya's message? Or not? And so what does it mean to act, of course, being loyal to Prabhupada, being loyal to his teachings, is a very big thing. Being loyal to Prabhupada's mission, ISKCON, which he incorporated, is a very big thing. That's like the foundation. But once one's loyalty is established, are we really keeping Prabhupada's spirit alive in the sense of maintaining communities and societies which are clearly, visibly focused on helping other people as opposed to helping ourselves? If we have a situation where we have senior devotees that basically spend more time playing golf than selling Prabhupada's books or preaching in some other way, what is happening to us? So, and myself, I don't exclude myself. I'm not coming here to say that I think in my own life, I need to look at my own life. I see many ways in which I can improve, many ways in which I can become more serious about my service to Prabhupada. So I suggest we all take advantage of this day to really see whether historically, from a historian's point of view, looking back hundreds of years in the future, will historians say that this community or other communities were actually maintaining Prabhupada's spirit, they were preaching communities, they were focused on helping other people? And the last point, and what will they say about me? I'm very concerned about that myself. It's not obvious to me that my life is exactly what it should be. So, we have to move on to historical dialectic, you know, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. So there was a time in ISKCON where preaching was everything and taking care of yourself and your family was almost nothing. And so it's understandable that our society balanced itself by going to the other extreme, where taking care of yourself is almost everything and actually serious outreach is almost nothing. So what I suggest is that we have to move on. I think at a certain point, we have to acknowledge that we've balanced ourselves. And the synthesis is that we take care of ourselves, we take care of our families, but we really focus on spreading Prabhupada's movement as he was focused. Practically every moment I spent with Prabhupada, that's what he was doing. He really didn't do anything else. He kept himself healthy. He tried to keep us healthy, cared about us. He was concerned about our spiritual lives. But apart from that, his whole spirit and focus and consciousness, his life, was all about spreading the movement. It's just like economies. Modern economies aren't healthy unless they're growing, which is, of course, basically suicidal to the planet. But in terms of Krishna consciousness, this movement is healthy when it's growing. And growing doesn't simply mean getting existing devotees to move from some other place to another place. We may imagine that means the movement is growing, but if it makes us feel good about ourselves. But Prabhupada said progress means growing the family. And so, you know, you can boil milk, but you can burn it also. And there are cycles of expansion and contraction. There are cycles where we go out and preach, and we've got to solidify ourselves, get ourselves together. I would suggest we really desperately need an expansion cycle. And that means all of us, and I certainly include myself, all of us have to be a little less selfish and a little more focused on what Prabhupada really needs and what we need. Because there's actually no difference between Prabhupada's needs and desires and our own, because serving Prabhupada is watering the root. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.